Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russin. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the internet or to re-listen to this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to talk to you about taking hold of life that is really life. As I've walked through life, there are times when I felt a deep sense of well-being, good friends, good conversation, or just an incredible sense of inner strength. There have been wonderful times of sensing the presence of God and God working around me. There have been times full of joy. There have also been times where I've been empty, so drained of life that I could hardly move. There's a tiredness of body, which is a good thing after a hard day's work. There's a tiredness of soul that is not so good. I've lived much more of my life than I care to admit in survival mode. You make it by, but you don't really live. You've been in places where I've been full of life, and I've been in places where I feel like the walking dead. I suspect many of you can relate to that. Benjamin Franklin is credited with saying, "Many people die at 25, but aren't buried until they're 75. And here's what I've come to understand about the gospel. I believe it was the church father Erasmus who said, "God's glory is the earth creature made fully and eternally alive with the life of the Spirit." Or to put it plainly, the glory of God is man and women fully alive. God is most glorified in you when you are most alive in Him. I want you to listen to a song sung by Bill and Gloria Gaither, "Fully Alive in the Spirit."
Make me alive,
fully aware of your presence, Lord.
God is most glorified in you when you are most alive in Him. That is a different way to measure the spiritual life. Your spiritual life is not measured by how much Bible you know, or how many prayers you say, or how religious you are. Those are just a means to an end, the end of being fully alive in God. So the question is, how do you know when you're fully alive? What does it look like? How do you measure life? Is life measured by the amount of adrenaline rushes you have? Well, you do feel alive when you're in the middle of an adrenaline rush. But do you have to risk death to experience real life? Is life measured by the amount of money or the amount of toys you have? Well, those things are fun. And sometimes we feel most alive when we are at play. But is that the extent of life? How hard we play? Is it measured by how we look? Some people spend a large proportion of their time at the gym and shopping so that they can look good. Is life measured by how good you look? Is life measured by good meals? I love a good meal. But is life measured by the restaurants you visit? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, the right answer, the Christian answer to whether life is made up of adrenaline rushes and toys and looks and meals is no. But that would not be the answer that Jesus would give. I want you to come with me to the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the crowd of people in the backwoods of Israel. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Then he goes on to say, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and He will give you everything else you need. Now, I recognize that the primary reason that Jesus is saying these things is to instruct us on the futility of worry. And that is good to reflect on. But look what he says to these people. Life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. If he was talking to us, I think the cultural translation would be that life is more than adrenaline rushes and toys and how you look and what you eat. That's part of life. But life is more than that. And as for the basics of life, what you eat and what you wear and where you live, Jesus says in verse 32, your Heavenly Father knows all you need. So playing and food and clothing and even adrenaline rushes are part of life. But there is more to life than these things. In fact, Jesus would go further and say in verse 15 of Luke chapter 12, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. So while these things are part of life, your life is not measured by how much you own. So contrary to the saying that is going around that says that the one who has the most toys at the end wins, Jesus would say, no, that's not how you measure life. So how do you measure life? How would you know if you are more fully alive now than you were a year ago? That's a question that I've wrestled with for a while. What does it mean to be fully alive? I've come to the conclusion that life is not like a life switch. It's not like an on-off proposition. It is more like a fuel gauge that is somewhere between full and empty. And the reality is, we're not in heaven yet. We will not be fully alive until we are. There are just too many things in this world that suck the life from us. So our gauge is never going to reach entirely full. But maybe we should have an earth gauge. What does it look to be full of life here on this earth? The Hebrews have a word. It's probably a Hebrew word that you know. The word is shalom. They would use it in a greeting. I might say, g'day, g'day, I'm from the valley. A Hebrew person would say shalom. It's a greeting of blessing. It means peace, welfare, well-being. It's the idea that things are as they should be. There is something in there that speaks to life. God created the world, and it was good, and things are as they should be. That would be real life. When God created the world, things were right between God and us. They were not only right, they were great. Things were right between us and others. There was an openness to be who we are without shame. Things were right in ourselves. We walked in right relationship with ourselves. We walked in right relationship with the world around us. Right relationship with God and others and ourselves and the world. Things are as they should be. Shalom. That might be a good definition of life. thinks, at least I think he gets to a facet of life. We need God to have real life. I'm going to invite you to listen to the song Fill My Cup, Lord by the Vocal Union.
Like the woman at the well, I will seek for things that never satisfy. Savior speaking, draw from the well that never will run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul.
Of another way to think about the Bible and how it talks about life. Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners and being criticized for it. Jesus said to the people criticizing him in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Put that together with Romans 3:23, "The wages of sin is death." Sin causes death. The reason why God hates sin so much is that sin brings death and it goes against everything that God is. But in the way Jesus describes sinners in this particular passage is that they're sick. Another way to think of life is to think about health. Not physical health, although your body is a part of your life. But Jesus was talking about spiritual health. Sin is like a poison, like a toxin. The more of it you have, the unhealthier you are, the less of life you have. That fuel gauge that goes between life and death, the more toxins in your system, the more death, the less life you have. And you know that. You know that people who are full of hatred and bitterness are like the walking dead. You know that when you enter into slander and gossip and backbiting, that there is something wrong in your soul. You know that when you engage in sexual sin or relational sin, that it hurts you on the inside. Those things have a way of poisoning your heart. You live, but you don't. Think about the opposite. When your heart is full of love, full of peace, full of hope, there is that sense of well-being. There is that sense of aliveness. So we can think of life as health. It's more than physical health. It's more than emotional health. There is a spiritual health. And Jesus made a way that you might be forgiven, detoxified, as it were. Through his death on the cross, he has made a way so you might know him and be forgiven and cleansed. That's a helpful way to understand life. Has Jesus taken the poison out of my system? How much poison am I ingesting? What do I need to do to be healthy? I want to lay one last understanding of life on your mind before I put this all together. Jesus was talking about his disciples, and he was talking about communion, and this is what he says. And I like the Message paraphrase of it. The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I have spoken to you is Spirit word, and so it is life-making. Or the New Living Translation puts it this way, John 6:63. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit, and they are life. The Spirit gives life. The words I speak are Spirit and life. You're not going to get there through your own human effort. There's a word for us who are prone to be religious. You can't make life happen. Your religiousness is not going to make life happen. All you can do is put yourself in a place to receive the life-giving Spirit of God. Kind of reminds me of Jesus' words. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you are attached to the branch and there is an uninhibited flow of sap, the branch is fully alive. But if you are unattached, then you can't get the life that God wants for you. And if the flow is broken, life is inhibited. If you want full life, you need to be connected to Jesus. That is where it starts, because it is the Spirit of God who gives life. You're not going to get there by trying harder. But if you are connected to Jesus, then the question is, are you fully alive or are you sick? Are you walking in right relationship with God, yourself, others, this world? I'm hoping that you're moving in that direction where you can say, I am fully alive. I am connected to God and I sense his life flowing in me and through me to others. It is not that the rest of life, like eating and what you play with and what you have, not that that doesn't matter. It's just that those things don't define real life. God is most glorified in you when you are most alive in him. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you willing to take the risk to become fully alive in Jesus? Are you willing to take the risk to move into what it means to be in right relationship with yourself? Right relationship with God, right relationship with others, right relationship with the world around you. And I know that's risky. I know for some of you that will mean forgiveness. I know for others of you that will mean that you will have to go out of your way to show love. I know for others that will mean you forgiving yourselves. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to deal with the poison and the death that is in you? Are you willing to come to God and say, God, yeah, I have sinned. I've indulged in poison. But the Bible says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For some of you, you've been walled up for so long. And you've been on the inside and trying to keep everything else. But the problem with that is it keeps life out as well. And you might hear yourself, well, embracing this is too much. It's too hard. It takes too long. It looks too scary. Walking on unfamiliar ground, you stumble and say, I can't do this. Ken Davis is a Christian writer. And this is what he says. When it comes to living, it is a never-ending adventure being a follower of Christ that keeps the wow in my life. The wow of a life lived fully alive is breathtaking, but it can also be intimidating. Choosing to become fully alive is more than movie platitudes of carpe diem, seize the day. This is more than, well, you only live once, so grab all the gusto you can. No, this is about Jesus. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That is his mission statement. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. When Paul was talking to his protege, Timothy, he said, take a hold of the life that is really life. So the question is, are you willing to do what you need to do to move into shalom, to walk in right relationship with God, yourself, with others, with the world around you? Are you willing to deal with the toxins that are poisoning your soul and stealing your life? Are you willing to plug into the vine, plug into Jesus, who is the source of life? God is most glorified in you when you are most alive in Him? Are you willing to follow Him as He leads you into life, life to the full? Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, you are about life. You are about a life that comes and dwells in us. By your cross, you have made a way that we could deal with the sin that's in our life and the toxins that are in our life. I pray even now that people would say, Jesus, come and forgive me. Take the sin away and give me your life. Lord, I pray that you would speak into people's lives in such a way that they would know you. And you would teach them how to walk in right relationship with you. And right relationship with themselves, and right relationship with others, and right relationship with the world. I pray, Lord, that you would be so a part of what they're about that they would sense your life flowing in them and through them. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening this morning. I would encourage you to keep correspondence with us. Go on the website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca and you can communicate us. You can follow us on Twitter or on our blog. You can help us keeping this program on the air. We'd appreciate that. You can do that on the web through PayPal, or you can make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. If you go to the website and follow us, we would love to communicate with you. Alan Churchill, the founding pastor of this ministry, is writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insights and ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive his devotional, go to our website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca and sign up to start receiving it in your email box. We know that God will bless you through that ministry. Well, it has been a pleasure to spend this morning with you. My name is Brent Russett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brent Russett. And my prayer is that you may know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you and with His constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to see ourselves out this morning by listening to Starfield, A Cry in My Heart. For your glory to come.
There's a cry in my heart for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me through? If I opened my heart, could go there with you. For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life could mean anymore? You are my rock, you are my glory. There's a cry in my heart for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill every sense. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me? If I open my heart, could I go there with you? For I've been here before, but I know there's still more. Oh Lord, I need to know you. For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life mean anymore? You are my laughter of this air.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.